morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, keeping busy, and the weather's just been weird. Well, warm, and then we get the rain, and then we get the, you know.
I tell you what, it doesn't happen very often, but John, I got to thank you for last week covering for us with that Encore show. I was ending up traveling to my niece's graduation ceremony down in Tucson, Arizona, and we were going to do some recording, and then business is business and real estate, and it got crazy and slammed. So thanks for filling in for us on that.
Of course.
I called John in a panic and said, I don't know what to do, but I'm not going to be there Saturday morning.
Figure it out, John.
Yes. Yeah, so,
appreciate it, John.
So thank you again for that. And we have with us, as always, Mr. Tom Coyne with Umpqua Bank, our in-house lending expert. Tom, how are you doing?
You know, I'm doing pretty good, fighting some allergies right now, but I think I can make it through the show.
Okay, good.
Well, got a cough drop in right now.
Yeah, I mean, with all the flowers out there and blooming and everything going, I've been in that same boat with you for sure.
Yeah, it's brutal, but I'll make it.
Good. Well, we always like to start off with kind of our crazy national story, and usually what I do is find a house that is just over the top that's coming on the market. This one was no exception. Our crazy real estate story this week, this is out of Austin, Texas, and this was a house that was built by Ross Garber, who's a tech entrepreneur. In fact, I was looking for a real estate story. I had to Google who that was, but he had sold a company, a tech company, back in 2008 that was called Vignette, and it was a high-end software company that integrated software for big, big companies. In fact, it once had a market cap of over $2 or $3 billion. So I was like, okay, now that makes sense why you're going to have a 14,000 9-bedroom house in Texas, in Austin, Texas, that's for sale. And Tom, I tell you what, the article and the highlight that the house led with, and you'll appreciate this, and this was a first I had heard on this, and that is his and hers barbecues.
Really?
Not an option I see very often here in Tri-Cities.
Isn't her barbecue? Okay.
I mean, I'll see the occasional built-in kitchen or the outdoor kitchen, but I'm going back through and I'm thinking of mine. I don't think I've yet to see built-in his and hers barbecues.
You know, my wife's pretty good on the Traeger, and I just share it with her. It's really no problem.
You just sacrifice.
Yeah,
I do. Okay, absolutely. I love that. So we always balance that out with a real-life local real estate story. And the way I'm going to start this story, you're not going to think it's the local story. You're going to think it's the national story, but it actually is, because I saw making the rounds on Facebook this week. Okay, Harrison Ford is not buying in Pasco. Did you see that on Facebook, Tom? McKay, did you? Okay, that was the meme, I think, that was going around. It looked like a real article was making the Facebook rounds this week, why Harrison Ford is buying in Pasco. And basically, when you looked into it, he's not.
So someone had too much time on their hands.
Their hands. And so that was kind of the craziness making the...
Well, shucks. I don't think he would be calling me for a loan anyways.
So. Yeah, he probably would be a cash buyer, which we are seeing quite a bit in the market right now. Mm-hmm. So one of the things then Tom and I do is we talk each week and we say, what are we going to talk about this week? What's going on in the marketplace? And I said, you know what? That's easy this week, because over the last 3 to 4 weeks, we've done a lot of shows about how to prepare your house for sale, how to get ready for this market, what's going on in this market. And I tell you what, right now, what's happening in this market is a whole new set of problems that we haven't seen before. And that is managing multiple offers. We've seen multiple offers in this market before, but never quite to the level that we're seeing it at now. And so a lot of people are like, gosh, well, what could be the problem with managing multiple offers? You know, that seems like the greatest thing ever. Well, if you're a seller out there, it can be the greatest thing ever. But we're at a new level now where we used to look at managing maybe 2 offers that come in on a property. But what happens when you have five offers that come in on a property, that type of stuff that, that we're seeing right now in this market? And so, you know, the number one thing I wrote down as I was prepping for the show was, you know, how did we get here? We've talked about in the past being able to generate a number of buyers on a single property with great pricing strategy, with building hype, proper marketing for a property. Now, what's happening in our local market is it's not a matter of generating two offers. A lot of these properties are generating five or six offers, especially stuff that's priced below $250,000 and priced aggressively. When we are at a market that only has 500 homes on the market and has generally had 12 to 1400 with still increased demand, that is the situation that's gotten us here. So number one is we talk to our sellers, and a lot of times buyers out there that are listening, and there's probably some buyers out there that are driving around, they're listening to this show right now, and they're like, this is me. I've lost out on three or four homes in multiple offer situations.
Or five or six.
Mm-hmm. What the heck is going on? And there's a lot of buyers out there and sellers that will listen to the show and say, yeah, and I'm mad about it. You know, I was wronged in that situation. And so I just wanted to take this opportunity to explain some of the things that can happen, because a lot of times I've had those angry buyers from other agents, you know, call us after the fact where maybe they didn't get a house and say, how is this possible? My agent didn't tell me that this could happen. I didn't know that this was a possibility. I thought X when really what is the requirement? So the number one thing that we hear a lot of times when people feel wronged in this situation, especially from a buyer perspective, is a lot of times buyers will come back and say, hey, I didn't know there was five offers on a property. I thought that had to be disclosed. Well, one of the things that happens is there's two things going on right there. There's an obligation to the seller and a seller's wishes that a listing agent has. Then there's also a realtor code of ethics that overlays that. And basically, our realtor code of ethics says that obviously one of the basis of that is that we cannot be untruthful to another agent. So we might have a seller that says to us, hey, listing agent, do not disclose these other offers or these terms of these other offers to the other agents. And you might be thinking to yourself, why would that ever be the case? Why would a seller ever say that? Well, there's a lot of practices out there, there's books and theories about negotiating in multiple offer situations. One of those theories that circulates around is that if a buyer knows there's more than one or two offers on a property right now, they won't write another offer. They'll just skip that property and go to the next one. Mm-hmm. So some sellers will say, hey, I don't want to disclose how many offers are on the property right now because I want more offers coming in so I have more choices. Now, we're counterbalancing that with our code of ethics that we're required to not be untruthful to the other agent. So if another agent flat out asks you, do you have any other offers on the property? You have to have your seller's permission to say, yes, we have four other offers on the property. Or you might have to say, I'm sorry, but I've been instructed by my seller not to disclose that information.
See, I would almost think that you would want the buyers to know that, because then they say, geez, all right, there's other offers. I better make mine really good.
Well, that's another strategy, Tom. And unfortunately, there's not a book out there that says Tom's strategy is the best strategy, Lance's strategy is the best strategy, Tony Robbins is the best, you know, Obama's strategy, you know, mm-hmm. whatever, Trump's strategy, you know, whatever you're listening to or books you're
reading.
We're
going through a lot of strategies now, Lance.
Hey, I threw both out there. I'm not saying we're going to turn this into the political hour, but, you know, there's a lot of different strategies out there, and you have to present those options to your seller and then do what you think is in, you know, your best interest as the seller of that property.
And every buyer's going to react differently.
Every buyer's going to react differently to that, and every seller's going to react differently to that. So then you are dealing with multiple agents in a market, and then here's where our job gets a little more complicated, because we have a lot of real estate agents in town that if you sat them down and talked to them and you said, and ask them, how do you deal with multiple offers? They would say, the only way possible, the best way, and what you have to do is you have to give a time frame for highest and best and let all of the everybody resubmit their highest and best offer by tomorrow night at 6, and then we all have a fair shot. You would find agents in town that said that's what you have to do. Unfortunately, that's not correct. That is not what the seller has to do. That might be what you view as the most fair way from an agent's perspective to handle that situation, but that's not the perspective of the seller. And if your seller, which I have now a legal obligation to act in the best interest of, coordinate with them, advise them, that seller might think that is a terrible strategy. And they might not want to go for that. So you're balancing of what the public's perspective, what other agents' perspective is, and the buyer's perspective. How the heck do I get that property for my buyer? Because that agent's trying to represent their buyer's best mm-hmm. interest. Their job is to beat those other five offers or get their offer accepted before the other offers come in. So it gets really complicated really quickly, and people can get very emotional about that in this situation. So let's talk about some of those strategies. You get four offers. We already talked about highest and best. You can go back and say, offers 1 through 4, we're going to give everybody a time out. You have until tomorrow at 4 o'clock to bring your highest and best. We're now seeing in this marketplace, agents put homes on the market on a Friday and saying, you have until next Friday at 5 o'clock. We're going to give everybody a week to submit their highest and best offer. And we're going to review all of those offers next Friday. Now, here's what happens, Tom, in this situation and what's happening right now in the Tri-Cities. Seller instructs their agent to put that in writing, to do that. They put it in the MLS. They say they're going to wait till next Friday to review those offers. Monday, they get a cash offer, no appraisal, no inspections, with a deadline for Monday night for $20,000 over the list price. What does seller do?
Can't accept it yet, right?
Who said they can't?
Well, I guess they put it in writing. I don't know. Right. You tell me.
These are some of the ethical type of issues and dilemmas that this market's bringing to light.
Right.
That information, the seller set that up as a, yeah, this is how I want to handle it. They get that offer, though. Somebody forces them into that deadline and said, if you want our cash offer, you want it above, you have to get back to us tonight, because that buyer is trying to force that seller into. Is it the right thing to do after they've already put that out there? That's a question that they'll have out at the WSU business ethics course. But can the seller look at that offer and accept that offer on Monday? Absolutely, they can. And so then you got a lot of people standing around saying, hey, I thought they were waiting until next Friday. Well, we were until we saw this amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
And so I talk about quickly building ill feelings and trying to manage all of that in the marketplace. It's not all, you know, roses and rainbows out there in those multiple offer situations. It gets really dicey. So that's another strategy. Can then the seller look at those offers as they come in? Another strategy that comes up a lot: countering one of the offers before deciding what to do with the other three offers. You have four offers in, you take a look at what you think is your best, but it's just not quite right. So you counter just that one offer and try to get terms a little bit better before you decide on the other three offers. That's another option that comes up. And then what happens after that is a bunch of things in between. So when we come back from the break, we're going to flip this around a little bit, because right now we've talked about a lot of the options that the sellers have, and their buyers are out there saying, like, hey, we're just blowing around in the wind out here stranded. What are some of the options the buyers have? How can they get their offer accepted in these multiple offer positions? And what are some of the things that they can do to beat out those other offers? We'll be talking about that right after the break, and kind of focusing on the lending side of what Tom can do to help you win in these situations.
Right here on News Talk 870.
Welcome back to the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. This week, we've been talking about multiple offers in the lower inventory market, summer market right now. A lot of people, school's going to be out soon. They're trying to find that right house. There's a lot of competition for those houses. Before we get on to some of the tips about what the buyers can do to make their offers stand out, and I always tell people the first thing they can do is go over to Tom Coyne at Umpqua, get a pre-approval with Tom so that we have a local lender strong pre-approval letter to go with that offer. We're going to let Tom talk a little bit more about some of the things he sees in his industry with the lending side.
You know, Lance, just a spin off on that, I'm just me patting myself on the back a little bit, but I've had several clients this year say, Tom, we were told that our offer got accepted because we had your approval letter. So that makes me feel good, and we work really hard to get that reputation, and I'm glad it's helping people.
It is, and honestly, from a listing agent standpoint, if we are looking at three offers, and we've got Quicken Loans and Gecko Financing National, and then we got Tom Coyne.
Home Loans. That's not a whole lot of competition there.
then you know we're going to look and say, hey, these people are serious. This is a local lender. I know this guy always closes his loans. So yeah, absolutely, it's a fact.
Well, when we're talking multiple offers, I thought we'd talk multiple lenders. And there's a lot of lenders out there and definitely plenty of options for people to choose from. But a lot of people think it's best to just go to their local credit union where their family's been banking for the last 50 years. And then they make that call. And then they maybe call a couple other people and see that that maybe not always be the case or the best decision for them. And when you're speaking with different loan officers, talk to a few. Because if you talk to one and then you talk to a second one and you see, oh, well, this guy is telling me all sorts of different options I never even heard of from this other one. So now I'm feeling more comfortable with this guy where maybe the first one isn't as experienced or doesn't know as many options or different ways of structuring things. So take your time and make a few phone calls and you're going to get a really good feeling from one person, I'm sure right away, where the others, if you had just settled with the first one, you may have not got as good of a loan program. But when you're shopping around for your loan, here's a couple things to look for. Obviously, interest rate is the first and foremost. The lower the interest rate, the lower your payment, and that's the lower the interest you're going to pay over the life of the loan. So you always want to try to get the lowest rate possible. Now, the second thing that I always tell people is worry less about APR. So many people get wrapped up on what is the APR of the loan. Now, in my opinion, APR couldn't be less relevant. It's a formula that takes the interest rate, the mortgage insurance, your closing costs, and puts in relation to the loan term and loan amount, and then it spits out this number. Lance, I've been doing loans almost 15 years, and I cannot look at an APR and tell you a single thing about your loan. So I think it's more important to look at your rate, like what's my interest rate, what are my closing costs, and what's my mortgage insurance. So when you look at those three things, you're going to actually see what you're working with on the loan and not this kind of hidden mathematical formula that the APR is calculated into. Now, here's another thing. Let's say you have two loans, one 15-year and one 30-year, and everything about them is exactly the same except the loan term. That 30-year loan is going to have a lower APR than the 15-year. But we all know the 15-year is going to save you thousands of dollars in interest, but the calculation spreads costs over the loan term. So if you have a shorter loan term, you have a higher percentage of costs over that time period. So it's going to give you a disproportionately higher APR. So again, don't get wrapped up too much in the APR. Excuse me. Look more at your interest rate and closing costs and mortgage insurance. Now, the number three thing to look for, which sometimes contradicts the first point I just talked about with interest rates, but don't just look at the interest rate when you're not putting 20% down. There's different ways of structured mortgage insurance. And one way that I do it quite often is what's called lender paid mortgage insurance, where the client will take a little bit higher interest rate, but the lender pays the mortgage insurance up front. This will generally give you a lower monthly payment, which increases your cash flow and spending ability on a new home. But if you're only looking at what's the lowest rate, you may overlook the option of getting a no mortgage insurance loan with a little bit higher interest rate that actually gives you a lower monthly payment than if you did a lower rate with monthly mortgage insurance. Now, the number four thing to look at is make sure you're checking closing costs. Now, just because a lender says I'll match that lender's rate doesn't mean that they're going to match their closing costs. On any given day, you have a lot of options on interest rates. So as you go down in interest rate, your closing costs are going to go up. And as you go up in rate, your closing costs goes down. So what's important is to find a good mix between rate and costs. And just because two lenders are offering the same rate doesn't mean they're offering them at the same cost. So definitely look at the fees associated with the rate you're selecting. Now, definitely to spend some time, shop around for a loan, and ask the loan officer, what are the other programs that you have that you haven't presented to me? And ask them, what about FHA? I've heard my friends get FHA, or what are some zero down loans out there? I love it when people say, what are the other options that are out there? Even if you already know they're not the best option for me. And it just tells me that the client's done their homework, and I'm always happy to go through that with them. So when you're shopping around for your loan, definitely feel free to give me a call. I'd happy to send you a quote. We don't have to pull credit or anything. I can email that to you in just a few minutes, and hopefully we'd be able to earn your business.
That's great, Tom. And one of the points in there I loved about what you said in there is that rate versus closing cost. I think a lot of times people think about how much down that they have to put and forget to look at that box that says closing cost. So somebody might think, gosh, it's going to take $20,000 for me to get into my house. But really with their closing costs, it's not just the $20,000 they need, the 10% down on a $200,000 loan. They might need another $7,000, $8,000 in closing costs. And I really think before they're out there shopping and in your car and then falling in love with the house and making offers, you need to know that total amount of cash that you're going to be having to bring to closing in 45 days once that offer goes under contract.
It's just another reason to get pre-approved before you're ready to go find a home.
Absolutely. Thanks for that information, Tom. One of the things we like to do, it's moving quickly, but we've got some new inventory. So before I wrap up some buyer tricks, a quick pick three for you. And we have a great new house, 4205 Finhorse Lane in Pasco. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath, West Pasco location. That market's hot right now. 2,500 square feet, big kitchen and pantry. You've got stainless steel appliances, opens up to the family room from the kitchen, bright master suite, French doors right off the family room to a big full-covered patio, fully fenced backyard, and that's coming in there in West Pasco at $229,900. So that's another one that's just going to move very, very quickly. Over in Kennewick, we've got 1114 South Jefferson Place. This is a five-bedroom, three-bath Rambler that has a basement in Creekstone. Not a lot of those were built like that with the basement in Creekstone. This is almost 3,000 square feet, 2,836 square feet, all new laminate wood flooring, fresh interior paint. You've got the master on the main level, big family room on the lower level that's great for a game room or entertaining. You're getting this in Creekstone, and you're getting all of this. This price point in Creekstone is fantastic. $249,900 out there in Creekstone. So that's another quick moving one. I hesitate mentioning pick number three because I think I saw an offer on it last night, but I don't think it's fully negotiated. 6537 Marble Street in West Richland. This is a four-bedroom, three-bath with a den, 2,706 square feet. Former Parade of Homes Rambler. So it was in the Parade of Homes. One winner of the best kitchen. Awesome, awesome finishes. Gorgeous wood-style porcelain tile flooring. Big open floor plan. All just brand-new amenities. Custom-built-in entertainment wall. Remote controlled gas fireplace, big den. I mean, that kitchen is one for a reason. It's just absolutely incredible. So you've got split bedroom design with a huge master, jetted tub with LED lighting, walk-in closet, and you're coming in there $419,900.
Lance, you said before the break, his and her barbecues, none of these had
Sorry, I did not get in his and her barbecues. We're going to have to work that in here pretty soon. We're absolutely going to have to work that in here pretty soon, for sure, with the his and hers barbecues. Now, some of the things that we've been talking about, multiple offers. Now to the buyer's side. How am I going to win in those multiple offer situations? Well, I'll tell you what. In this market, number one is, I'm just going to say it out there, you have some competition, some stiff competition. And I'll tell you what, as prices start to increase, if you're up against a cash offer, you're probably not going to win that. You're probably not going to win that bidding war. Because what happens right now is, as the prices are increasing, there's been some low appraisals out there, meaning the prices have increased in that particular neighborhood faster than the closed comparables have been able to keep up. So they're setting new records for those price points. If you're getting financing and somebody is going to have to wait and see if that appraisal comes in and meets that new price, and they get two or three offers and one of those offers is cash, it might even be $2,000 or $3,000 less than your offer, but it's all cash. Close in 3 weeks. The seller doesn't have to worry about the appraisal. In those situations, it's going to be very, very difficult to beat that buyer out. So that's just one of the things you're going to have to note is there's some investors in our market right now. There's some cash offers going on out there, and those are just hard. You might have to write on two or three different properties to get the house that you want and get that under contract. One of the other things, so that being said, let's just say chalk that up to as hard to beat cash.
Nothing can do about it.
Not much I can do about the situation. So now let's go to competing on an even playing field with the other offers. Let's say they all have financing. What are some of the terms that sellers are looking at? They're looking at closing date. Have your agent call the seller and say, what is going to be the most optimal closing date for that seller? If you make that call ahead of time and make that with your offer, you're now accommodating the seller. So if the other two agents didn't make that call, you now have written an offer that the seller's going to look at, and you know what they're going to say when they look at that offer? Well, I really like the closing date of that offer. Well, of course you do, because you told them what it was. And so if your agent calls and says, what's the optimal closing date for your seller? That's how I want to write my offer. You put that in your offer. Number two is your pre-approval letter solid from a local lender? People are going to be like, well, I've done three loans with Quicken, and I've done seven loans with my buddy in Nebraska. When I used to live in Nebraska. Now I moved out here. Well, that's fine. But do you want the property? I mean, I don't mean to be a little bit of a jerk about it, but if you want the property, these sellers, they know Tom. They know Umpqua. They know. And the other agent that I'm presenting this to also does loans with Tom and knows he's going to close. So get a pre-approval letter from a local. If you don't want the house, I don't care. Get it from wherever you want. But if you do want to get the house.
I love how you're just telling how it is.
Well,
right,
that's, we've got to be like this because it's cutthroat. So I sound a little cutthroat today on the air, but it's because if I'm working for a buyer to get the house, we're going to have to get nasty out there on some of these deals to do that. Number two is if you've got the earnest money to increase, do it, because you're buying in that price range that's tough. You're buying a $200,000 house. You're going to see a lot of people put down $1,000, $1,500, $2,000 earnest money. Why, if you've got the money and it's going to credit towards you towards closing, why not put down $4,000? Because you put down $4,000, your offer now looks better than those other two that are sitting there. Now you have the right closing date, and you have more earnest money than the other two offers.
You're going to get the earnest money back at the closing anyways.
Absolutely. It's going to credit to you. So that's another big one. The third one is price. Know what the market is for that house. If maybe it's listed at $195,000, but maybe there's nothing better than that house until you get to $210,000. So you got to look at what are my other options. If I don't get this house at $195,000, I'm going to have to spend $210,000. So maybe my offer needs to be $200,000, because is that now the value of that home to you? Because your next option you've looked at is $210,000. So you might be over on the price. The other thing that you can look at is there's escalation addendums out there. What an escalation addendum does is it protects your top side of your offer by saying, I will beat the next best offer by $1,000. So if there's two other offers at $200,000, then my offer will automatically go from $200,000 to $201,000. And so you can do what's called an escalation over the other offers.
Are you seeing a lot of those right now?
I am seeing a lot of those.
Pretty much on every offer almost?
On 50% of them that were out there. If we're in multiple offers, if we know there's multiple offers, I'm almost seeing it 80% of the time is that escalation. So here's the thing that is now starting to happen in our market. I told you, we're doing new things that we never see before. We used to have escalations that were, it'd be like, oh, there's an escalation addendum. That used to be kind of a surprise. Now it's become, like you said, 80% of the time. So now it's become, oh, we have two escalation addendums. But this one said they'll beat the next best offer by $1,000. That might not be good enough anymore. Maybe you need to beat the next closest offer by 2,500. Hmm. So now we're starting to see larger amounts of escalation, because if you have two or three escalations now on a house, it's going to come down to which one escalates more. And so that can be a consideration sometimes.
But not even necessarily which one escalates like higher, because that higher one's only going to go up $1,000 more than that previous. And if that previous had better financing terms,
yes,
maybe they pick that one if it was $500 less.
And that's absolutely right. And we have seen in the last couple of weeks, we've seen some other things. We talked about strange scenarios that can happen. We've seen offers that have come in, and they've come in low, meaning the market's fantastic right now. You find that gem of a house that is, your agent calls, says, do you have any offers on the house on Jefferson? And the agent says, no, we don't. Your agent is shocked. He goes back to you as a buyer and says, I just called on Jefferson. I know you're excited. I know you love it. I called the other agents. There's no other offers on that. What should we do? The agent said, let's get that baby wrapped up under contract. Now, naturally being a buyer, you hear there's no other offers on that. Tom, what's going to start creeping into your mind? What should we do?
Let's try to talk them down a little bit.
Absolutely. Natural reaction. So you throw a low ball at him. You hit him 5, 8% below asking. The offer goes in. And you're like, we're going to get back to you tomorrow. Now, knowing it's Tri-Cities and what's happening right now, guess what happens overnight while they're thinking about your offer?
Another offer comes in.
And this offer comes in full price. Guess what the seller's going to think?
They're going to take the full price offer.
You know what? They're not even going to call that other person back. And that other person might have been willing to go to full price, but they were offended in this market that they got a low offer. So, you know, a lot of times they're going to say, they're going to look at it and say, oof. Let's not even respond to that other offer. We're just going to take this one.
You know, and a year ago, it's completely different than what we're talking about.
A year ago, completely different. So all of these things are changing. It's very dynamic. You have to be prepared for those situations if you're truly in the market to buy right now. If you're struggling with this, if you've lost out 2, 3, 4 times, you want to be with a high-performing buyer's agent that's going to help you get that property and educate you about what's going on. Please go to our website, kenmoreteam.com, shoot me a message, and we'd love to help you with some of these strategies. On the flip side, we're also working with our sellers to navigate this very complicated issues going on right now. Tom, on the financing side, a must for that approval. How do they get a hold of you?
Go to TomCoinHomeLoans.com or call me at the office, 783-7300.
And we will be right back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.